Deputy Mayor Hampton, are you ready?
I am ready. Well, first of all, let me welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm pleased to be your host and facilitator for this evening. I'm Deputy Mayor David Hampton, Deputy Mayor of Neighborhood Engagement. And we're here, of course, as we all know, there is both a national and local conversation around public safety, around many of the recent events that have occurred. There have been many protests nationwide, even worldwide, even here in the city of Indianapolis. People don't generally protest good policing. Protests are usually a response to police brutality, excessive force, which the George Floyd incident certainly sparked continued conversation. We've had some events here locally that caused us to have this conversation tonight. How do we assess our public safety? How do we assess IMPD, our own programs here in our city? And we're excited to talk about those things with our counselors, who I'm going to introduce in just a moment. But our mayor, Joe Hogsett, announced the first in a series of public meetings on public safety. The meeting comes about a couple of weeks of soliciting public feedback from an online survey launched in early July. We wanted to determine the current state of public safety here in Indianapolis. The survey is merely one component of the administration's partnership with the NYU School of Law Criminal Justice Lab, which was announced on June the 15th. The conversation will include a first look at the initial survey results, as well as data that's been gathered by the NYU School of Law Criminal Justice Lab. The session will offer opportunities for community input on policy and safety priorities. We want to create a space for residents to share about their experiences, and we want you to be very candid, open, and honest. That's the only way we can move toward progress. I want to welcome our participants. We have with us Majority Leader Councilwoman Maggie Lewis, Chairman Leroy Robinson, Chairman Monroe Gray, who I think will join us momentarily, Councilor John Barr, Councilor Krista Carlino, and Councilor Jessica McCormick. This evening, we are going to engage in a series of breakout sessions. We are going to ask you to please participate, join in, don't be shy. Be sure to engage as much as you can. And for those who are watching us online, welcome and thank you. It goes without saying that we have some wonderful presenters tonight, and I'm going to hand it over to them. First, let me recognize Lena Hackett, my partner in crime, no pun intended. Thank you, Lena, for helping to organize this effort. I want to introduce our presenters from NYU as our session facilitators, after which I'll hand it over to them. We welcome Ann Milgram and Katie Bodsky-Falco, both from the NYU Criminal Justice Lab. And so Ann and Katie, at this time, we turn it over to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deputy Mayor Hampton, and thank you to the councilors, the majority leader, and the city councilors who are joining us tonight to help us facilitate this conversation. When we started this conversation about redefining public safety and equity in Indianapolis, the first thing that all of us talked about was community involvement. And as some of you may know, I oversaw the transformation of the Camden, New Jersey Police Department. It was the most dangerous city in America when I started my job as New Jersey's Attorney General, and a prior AG had taken over the police department. And when I left, it was not. And today it is among, I think, one of the few models that exist for community policing and new models of public safety. Our work here with you is really an effort to further that type of work that I've done in my career, but is really focused on a couple of things that I want to just sort of highlight for you. One is community involvement, which is missing largely from the conversation in almost every city and every place I've been to or worked, which is, how does the community feel about public safety? What is important to the community? We have defined public safety in most of our communities, and the way we measure whether or not we do a good job or not is generally through crime. Whether we've arrested people, whether we've convicted people, whether we put people in jail and prison. As all of the folks on this phone probably know, it's not enough to measure crime, because public safety is about more than that. And so one of the things we like to do is to start talking to the community about what matters to you and to get your priorities, as Dr. Hampton said. It's really important. I apologize. I will tell you that was not me, just in case anyone thought that. But it's really, really important for us to get your feedback. And so this is a part of that effort. And I'm going to explain to you the couple of things we're going to show you tonight. But the other piece I want to tell you is that where we're ultimately going with this is redefining safety and equity and coming up with asking ourselves the question of how does government hold themselves accountable for making the community as safe as possible, as equitable as can be, and basically for bringing, you know, justice and fairness to the whole system. And I would say also, just as background, that I am someone who believes that we can both have a lot of public safety in communities and reform in our police departments and in our public safety aspects of government. Now, the survey I'm going to talk you through, basically, one of the ways that we try to get information is to ask people, right, to say, what do you think? And so we did a survey. We put that survey up in Indianapolis. We also did a poll in the community, which is where we reach out affirmatively to people. And we do that because we know that when you put up a survey, people opt in, but not everyone opts in. And it's really important to us to get a cross section of the whole community. So I'm going to show you results from both of those surveys. We still have additional data that we are going to update with. And so one thing I want to tell you tonight is this is the beginning of us showing you our work, but we will continue to sort of revise it. You'll see more as we go on. And so I'm going to talk you through the surveys now. Katie Falco is going to talk you through the maps we've been doing from the data that we've pulled from city government. Some of that data is public. Some of that data was given to us by the city. That is also a work in progress. And so it's really important for you to know that we are committed to sharing everything with the city of Indianapolis. It is your data and information, but that as we go, we'll continue to revise it. And Katie will talk you through, but there are some areas where we may not have the data we want or that we think we need to have the kind of community we want. And so part of the conversation tonight goes to that. So I'm going to share my screen with you, and I am going to start by showing you sort of the first basic round of some of the survey results that we got. And we asked people, basically, we said, what are the top 10 public safety concerns? And we wanted to know, in your specific community, what do you worry about? There were a number of people, obviously you see, half the people responded homicide. Half the people put homicide on the list of their top 10 public safety concerns. Gun violence was next at 43%, homelessness-related problems at 21%, drug sales followed, then drug abuse, which are probably, we could combine those into one, very similar, gang activity, lack of police presence, burglary of a residence, and robbery. We use data like that and information like that to know what the key community concerns are. And also it helps us understand how the police and how the community is responding to things like what the community is concerned with. We then went on to do this sort of, as I said, we did two different versions of surveys because we always want to ask as many questions as we can. And we really want to try to understand what's happening. And I want to sort of just put, I'm going to show you a few slides, but in an effort to not take too much time, let me give you the overall findings, which is that basically about 62% of the residents in Indianapolis said they feel safe. Nationally, that number is usually around 73%. So we would say that people in Indianapolis feel less safe than in other communities across the country. There's also a racial divide that Black and Latino residents report feeling less safe than their white counterparts. And we noticed something with the younger residents in Indianapolis, 18 to 34-year-olds have distinctively negative perceptions of police and also report that the police don't listen to the concerns of local residents. And so by age, that was the most significant factor we saw in terms of attitudes towards police. Again, a number of people, a majority of folks said that they feel that they're treated with respect by the police. But again, we saw a big difference in age groups with younger people feeling less comfortable. Now I'm going to show you the next. We also looked at social determinants. Katie is going to talk you through this a little bit more, but one of the things we look at is that today in America, our response to public safety is very reactive. So we wait for a crime to occur, someone calls 911 or flags down a police officer, and then government responds. And so one of the things we think a lot about is how do we prevent crime? So in addition to working on police reform and thinking about how to improve the policing aspect, we always think a lot about how can we actually look at the root causes of crime and work on those. These are things we call social determinants. Actually, we don't call them. The healthcare profession has coined this phrase. And that's basically everything that goes to how we work, how we live, how we age, and the outcomes that you have as a result of things like education, healthcare, housing, crime. And so we looked at those questions and we found that Black and Latino respondents and basically were far more likely to indicate conditions that were social determinants, meaning that there was a lack of stable housing, a lack of access to good education and things like that. And we also had self-reported unemployment figures that were quite high, with 14% of respondents saying they're unemployed and looking for work. And again, higher percentages by age group and also by Hispanic Latino residents. So we ask a lot of questions, and I'll try to move through this quickly, but this will be available for you. We'll make this available for folks to see later. Again, most people feel safe in their neighborhoods. Nationally, it's below where we would like to see it, which is about 73%. But again, people generally feel safe. But you'll notice, again, that there are differences in how the white community feels versus the Hispanic and the African-American community. Again, I mentioned this, but it's worth just noting that while residents in Indianapolis overall feel that the police take their concerns into consideration, half of the 18 to 34-year-olds don't feel that way. And that's a really important part of the conversation as we talk about the legitimacy of the police and government to be working on the streets and engaging in crime fighting. Again, half the residents, 62%, said the neighborhood police treats locals with respect. But if you look at that graph, it's about half the people who are 18 to 34 say they are treated with respect and half say that they are not. We had a fairly high rate of reported violence. And one of the reasons we do this, things like surveys, is that we know that we don't capture all the data we need and that there are also people who don't report crimes to the police. And so some of this is also to baseline the work that we do in Indianapolis. 14% of residents reported violent incidents in the last year. A majority of people did not report any kind of violence, but we did see reports of violence, slightly more men than women, and more young people than people who are older. One of the last things I want us to spend a little time on is we asked a pretty open-ended question, which is, what should we consider? And this is the question for tonight, really, is what else should we consider as we start to work to improve public safety? What do residents care about? And overwhelmingly, there's a huge number of people who care about government accountability, and I'm a very personally very big believer in this, holding ourselves accountable, holding government accountable, both internally for example, how a police department works, and also externally to the community to make the community safe and to be biased, to operate without bias. The next was infrastructure. And then we come to policing, child and youth education, resources and aid, racial equity, police reform, protests and Black Lives Matter. A number of those overlap. And then we come to drug abuse, homelessness, punishment for crime, and so on. But you see some of the priorities that we got from the residents. We also found that there's a need for the feeling that there's a need for more mental health resources and professionals, additional healthcare and housing, community centers for young people, additional resources for the elderly. On police reform, we found that many residents supported the police and that there's also a substantial group of people that believe police departments need better relationships with communities, they need additional training, and they need to change the allocation of their resources, some of which could go towards community service. There were a number of comments about de-escalation, cultural sensitivity, anti-brutality training. A number of folks mentioned creating a neighborhood watch type of organization that could work with the police. Again, reallocation of funds towards community services and programs, and then improving police-community interactions. There were concerns, as you saw earlier, about homicides. There were specific concerns about shootings and increasing crime that made people feel less safe, and guns in particular. There was also a fair amount of concern about homelessness and substance abuse and support for people who have housing instability and for drug addiction. Finally, we asked folks a question that we love to ask, which is, if there's a conflict or fight in the neighborhood, what person or organization do you go to for help? And we like to ask this because it tells us a lot about a specific block even, or a specific zip code of basically who do you turn to. And what we found surprised us a little bit. It's the police. And in many communities, that is absolutely the case. But we didn't know what we would find. And 65% of people, basically the first entity that they would contact for help is the IMPD. And 911 obviously also goes to IMPD. So you have a very large reliance in communities on the police. And it's one reason why I, you know, and Katie and the NYU team that's assembled here and that's been working on this feels so strongly that it's really critical to get community involvement and input. So tonight, we really appreciate your time. We hope to come out with this with a better sense of your priorities, what you think we should be focused on for public safety. And again, I'm really grateful to you, Dr. Hampton, Councilwoman Lewis, and all the other members of the City County Council. Thank you.